welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life. This week on the show, we have Dave Lucas. Dave is one of our expert resident traders here at Raging Bull. He has a very unique option strategy for the long term because David is he's an entrepreneur. He doesn't have a whole lot of time to trade. So he's specifically tailored his formula, if you will, his strategy to just being like 12 minutes a day. I always love talking to Dave because he's just got such great insights as an entrepreneur, as a person in the business world, not just in the trading world. And he's got a pretty unique life. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Big Ben, I'm doing great, man. And that's an affectionate Big Ben. For those of you that don't know, Ben stands, 6'5"? How tall are you, man?
Yeah, right up there, man. 6'5", 6", somewhere around there.
Former basketball player, played around the world, all that stuff. The guy's been everywhere and done it. So good to be on with you, man.
Hey, man, glad to have you here. We were talking a little bit before the show started, and I said, hey, what's up? And you said, Ben, it's been today. I had a day. Tell me about what was the event in your day that made today just so spectacular?
One of the most spectacular events of my life happened earlier today. I've been waiting for just so long and been just, waiting for this day to come. I was able to get a haircut.
Oh my God.
I feel like I lost 10 pounds today, and it was our benevolent governor here in Ohio allowed these places to open. I was one of the first ones outside. I do not look like Wolverine anymore. I am just excited to find my face and look back. My wife's like, you look like a totally different person. So, in a good way. So it's good to be back.
You know, we're in quarantine when we celebrate haircuts.
That's right.
You know, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Well, let's talk for a second, Dave, because I always love your insights about what's happening. I think it's helpful for our listeners, to hear from a business person. We hear so much from the news and the government about what the Fed is doing in order for us not to just, fall through the floor as a market, right? The way I always describe the market and the economy is that, the economy is like the dog walker and the market is like the dog. And the economy kind of, pulls in the direction it wants to go, though sometimes the market wants to fight it. So tell me this, what are you seeing? What is happening? Can you help our listeners understand what all the Fed is doing in order to just have us not fall apart?
Yeah, I've been talking about this lately because I think it's really, really important is most people don't really understand really what our fractional reserve monetary system is and how it works. It is absolutely fascinating. It's kind of scary at the same time as to how it operates and how we get our money. But I think it's really important to understand that, to be able to understand the Fed's moves and then ultimately to position yourself to maybe take advantage of those. And so the way that and there's a great book on this that I think everybody should read, especially now. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and it's by a guy named Griffith. And it's a history of central banking throughout the world. It's pretty fascinating, read, and it's definitely worth looking into. But he details in the book what he calls affectionately the Mandrake mechanism, because it's based on a magician from back like the 1920s or early 1900s, and he had a unique way of creating something out of nothing. Well, that's essentially how our money system works. So here's how it works. Here is how money is created. Okay. The federal government adds ink to a piece of paper, creates those impressive designs and calls it a bond or a treasury note. Okay. And it's really that promise to pay a sum of money at a specific, interest rate on a date. Right. Well, what it then does is it hands that to the Federal Reserve. Right. And it's the Federal Reserve takes it and it becomes what's called a securities asset. So the Federal Reserve essentially takes that, it cuts a check, okay, from a bank account that has no money in it, okay, it's called a Federal Reserve check. There's no amount of money to cover this check. It then deposits that debt into its bank and then classifies that as an asset, the securities asset. So literally at that point, That check goes over to the government, right? So the government, you guys ever wonder how the government can print $6 trillion out of thin air and your taxes don't go up, right? This is how it happens. They create this piece of paper, they hand it to the Fed. The Fed effectively hands them another piece of paper. Then the government cashes that and it goes into the banks. And then the banks, okay, once they have those government deposits, can then essentially loan up to 9 times the amount of those deposits. And that's the fractional reserve system. And so money's created out of thin air. It's then deposited into banks and then it's multiplied 9 times. In fact, it goes around, I think there's 28 rounds of that before that one transaction is finally exhausted for all of the multiplications it can have. Now that's a very high level, you know, there's more pieces, parts to it, but I think it's really important that everybody understand that. So the underpinning of everything is debt. Okay. In fact, this is an amazing stat. If we all pay back all the debts that we had, there would be no money. I'll let that sink in for a second. So
everything just goes.
So with that being said, yeah, everything just goes to zero. There's no money if we did that because everything is debt now because it's been multiplied so many times and lent out. And, you know, you can think about how that works, right? When, you know, somebody goes to the bank to get a loan for maybe a business or something, they take that money, they deposit into their bank. Their bank lends out 10 times that money, essentially, and then it just makes its way through, right? So there's multiple ways the Fed can create money, but that's one of the biggest ones. And that's why you can do a $2 trillion spending bill and all of a sudden your taxes don't go up. What you do get is inflation. And that's the silent tax that eats away at the value of your money. And that's why with a fiat currency like the US dollar, you hear things like the dollar's lost 95% of its value since we came off the gold standard in 1970 and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So the important thing you have to understand is that it's called currency for a reason. It has to keep moving. And that's why people like Robert Kiyosaki will call savers losers. Because if you just park your money in an account that is getting 0.01% interest, you're just losing money because inflation's eating away at it. You have to keep that money moving. So what the Fed is doing is they're helping keep money moving and credit. So credit is where this all comes down to in the boom and bust cycle. If you think about it, because we're printing money and our system's all built on debt, that means that we have to have ease of getting that debt. People have to be able to get that money. They have to be able to use it. They have to be able to make it part of their everyday transactions and everything. If that begins to dry up, if, say, lenders cut back on lending or create higher standards or are willing to lend less and so on, then you start to see the beginnings of a recession and the bust cycle. In fact, Ray Dalio is a big hedge fund, he's top hedge fund guy, Bridgewater and all that stuff. He actually does a great video on this that I tell people to watch. You can get on YouTube. It's called the How the Economic Machine Works. And he takes you through the credit cycles. Mm-hmm. And so I know that's a lot, but to just kind of bring it full circle, our money is basically debt. And debt is what fuels our economy. We're 70% consumer spending in our economy. And so the underpinning of what makes that go is credit. So if you want to know what's happening and you want to understand what the Fed is doing, think about it. They're making it easier to get credit. They're backstopping and making it so that people don't stop lending like banks and stuff. They're basically saying, we're going to support you whatever way you need it, banks. Go ahead and keep lending out there and everything. Right? Because they know if the credit cycle starts to have cracks in it, that's when you get that crash, that depression, all that type of stuff.
Well, man, that like high level view, Dave, is super helpful in terms, because I just think a lot of folks out there don't really understand, you know, the push and the pull of how that cycle works. And what I'm curious about for you is, like, knowing what you know about that, how does that inform the way in which you trade? Because I know that you are looking at trades that are, you know, sometimes 5-6 months, you know, down the road in terms of kind of, you know, the options that you choose to sell. So how does that impact the way in which you see the market right now in terms of direction and also the way in which, you know, you choose to make your trades?
Well, it helps me understand and predict where the larger economic cycle's going, right? So if I see contractions really starting to happen in credit and I see the Fed is not, you know, being accommodative enough and, you know, kind of that rubber's going to meet the road, I know that in the future, you know, to start to be cautious because we're going to have the pullbacks and the potential large, debt cycle issues because of that, right? So it allows me to maybe put on more defense, be a little bit more cautious with how I do things. The other side of it, though, is it's the opportunity, right? So at this point right now, this inflationary, printing essentially of this money, this monetizing of debt that's happening has to go somewhere. So where's it going to go? Right. And I think a great example of the last time this was done, we've already surpassed 2008 by leaps and bounds with the amount that we have created in just a month when it comes to money. And so what happened is that inflationary money, where it went at that point in time, again, backstopped the banks, all of that, and went into the markets. And that's why we got the market boom that we got. But the economy during that time wasn't booming. We had kind of anemic growth in the economy, but the market was going up 400 some percent. Why? Well, that inflationary pressure with low interest rates, where's the money going to go, right? Where are people going to put it? They have to put it somewhere to earn more than 0.01%. And with treasury bills being as low as they are and government bonds and all that stuff, it doesn't leave a lot of places to go. So you see the market go up. I think we're continuing that and putting that on steroids now. So overall, we may have some big moves in the market, but overall, we're probably going higher because of this. Now, the other thing that the Fed's recently done, and they did on Sunday, and it was kind of a stealth thing, but I think it was really important to note because this is just a whole new level. As soon as you think the Fed's out of bullets, they create another one. They decided that they're going to buy corporate bond ETFs in the direct market. And that's really interesting to me.
Wow. That's new too. In order to support business in that way, in some ways it makes sense. But again, as you see that, as you hear that kind of unprecedented move, right? I mean, they're stepping up their game from 2008 till now. Again,
well, it tells me there's some big issues in the corporate bond market is what it tells me. It tells me that that's where they see some major problems in the future and they're trying to get ahead of it. And that makes sense. The corporate debt, has grown tremendously since 2008. And it's been something that people have talked about potentially being the next bubble. And when you shut down business across the world overnight, what do you think can happen with all that debt? So you think about that. Think about, like, let's just use an example. I used this recently. You have airline XYZ, right? So airline XYZ has got a bunch of debt, right? That helps fund operations and all that stuff. Operations are cut overnight, right? They go from zero to, and I know this because my largest business is in the travel space. So airlines went from zero to less than 10% of their transaction volume, literally overnight, okay? It is absolute carnage. And so now you've got this debt though that you got to pay on, right? And you don't have any money coming in essentially to pay that debt, right? So you default on that debt and maybe you got that debt from hedge fund ABC and you default on that debt to hedge fund ABC. Well, hedge fund ABC works really closely with, let's say, Chase Bank, right? Where they owed a bunch of money and you can just kind of see the ripple effect all the way back. Remember, the Fed's job at the end of the day is to keep the banking system up and running. That's why the Fed's not even federal. So that's something that I think people need to understand. It's really a cartel of banks is what it is. It's not federal in any way, shape, or form. And so it's important to know that the Fed's goal in the end is to keep the banking system and the banks, up and running. So when they started doing that on Sunday, it's a huge sign for me. Like, I want to know what bond ETFs they're buying into, because I'm going to follow those and sell against them because they're going to go up, because they're going to be putting almost $1 trillion into them, right? So I started doing research on bond funds, right? And trying to research and figure out which ones the Fed is going to put money into. So again, it's just another example of kind of following their lead and looking where things are going to go.
Isn't LQD one of those?
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel that's sounds like we're on the same page. I was, I was looking at the same thing before. I was like, I gotta track some of these bonds and maybe, cause you never want to fight the Fed when they got those big purse strings and you can just literally write money. Well, tell me this, Dave, what else, are you doing? Are you seeing that, our listeners might be able to track, to be able to use, to be able even to follow you in terms of their own investing at this time?
There's just always like, and this is the thing about trading. There's so many opportunities that are out there. Yeah, there's some you should do and some you shouldn't do, right? And I think it's important to, especially in times like these, and this is really hard for traders. This is where the discipline comes in, the mindset comes in and everything is, you may have a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you've gone to cash some and you're antsy and you're sitting there and there's this impulse to trade. Mm. And, you know, I think we've all had that before. And it gets us into trouble because it's like, I want to put this money to work. I need to do so. So I look for anything with confirmation bias to say, oh, well, I can put my money to work, right? And so for me, it's really important. I always look at things like a sniper in the tree. And I've got a very specific set of rules that I use to get into my trades. And it's times like these that you got to follow those more than any other time. You really have to be careful to make sure that you follow your rules, you do your setups the correct way, you let them come to you, just like that sniper lets the shot come to them, and you don't force things, because the markets are in a area right now where they are. I mean, we've seen it over the last couple of days as we do this. We were talking about this before, Ben. We're in May and we're going into the options expiration is today, and the market's been manic the last 3 or 4 days, right? I use a proprietary indicator called the fractal energies that help me determine if there's enough energy in a chart to trend. Well, you know, yesterday, the chart on the S&P 500 using the SPY, which I know you work with all the time, fully charged, right? And we started to see that move down and the energy started to come out. But then all of a sudden it turned back up, just like today. The market was down 300. And, you know, last I looked before we started talking, this thing's up now, right? So it's really manic, you know, and you're going to have these wild swings. But ultimately, this is why perspective is nice, too. Looking at the larger timeframes, we're really just walking sideways in a big, you know, consolidation pattern. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because the energies on the larger timeframes are exhausted. And so there's really, for a longer term trend, it's really hard to go anywhere. And so for me right now, because of these swings that are happening, setups that normally would be really easy aren't happening as much. So there aren't as many trading opportunities for my system as there usually are. And I'm careful not to just put on trades to get on trades to fulfill that on a weekly basis like I do. I'm being very careful to make sure that those setups that do come, maybe I up the position size, but you know, maybe less. But they are the right ones and really line up correctly. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so easy, especially when you're home, you're quarantined, you're sitting in front of a screen, you want to do something. And man, for most traders, patience, I think,
is the
hardest thing. Yeah. You know, just sitting there and being patient and waiting for it. You know, I don't know if you're a hunter, Dave. I'm a hunter. Mm-hmm. I grew up and gosh, you know, I think one of the hardest things is sitting there waiting for the shot, right? Not just seeing the animal, but actually waiting for it to turn, you know, to give you the right time. And you could wait hours for that 10-second window. But if you just start shooting everything that moves, right, nothing's going to come back. And maybe you hurt something, right? Or yourself for that matter. Right. So, well, Dave, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for having us, you know, understand the larger view in terms of what's happening here with the Fed, you know, and economically from the macro perspective. Where can listeners find out more about you and what you offer in your service?
Oh, certainly. Just go to optionsprofitplanner.com. We've got a blog there, has all kinds of insights on this stuff every day. You can learn more about the services that I have. And then also on Twitter at Dave Lucas RB. So just at Dave Lucas RB. Follow me. I'm pretty active there. Always answering questions, helping people, and really just trying to teach and help people understand more about all the great things you can do in creating wealth.
Well, thanks, David. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your wisdom, your insight, and your time. Thanks so much. I'm glad you're getting to enjoy that haircut, and I hope you get to enjoy it all weekend.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. To discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.